What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron, and special guest today, Greg Steele, writer at OTG Basketball, also has his own website, Greek Goddess Stats. What's up, guys? How we doing?
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Greg. Welcome to the pod. Nick, always a pleasure as we roll on in this team preview series.
Like Corey mentioned, getting into the team preview series. Happy to have Greg on for his first show with the NBA Outlet, and we'll be talking Warriors today. Quick reminder before we get started, though, you can find us on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and YouTube. Also, head to DesignTree/OffTheGlass. Discount code OTG5 will save you $5. But let's dive into Golden State. You know, another great year for them, 57-25, first in the West, but lost in the finals to the Raptors in six games. How would you summarize the Warriors season in one emoji?
It's got to be the emoji with the bandage on the head. It's yeah. No secret to anyone that injuries and a relative lack of health were the determining factor in the Warriors' performance last season. At full health, and particularly with Draymond Green at full fitness level, they looked as unstoppable as ever. In the finals, though, without Durant and Klay Thompson most of the time, they proved once again beatable for what seems like the first time in forever, but was actually just the first time in a few years. So it's got to be the injured emoji.
So I went on a similar route. I did the skull with the crossbones.
Oh, you're savage.
and I did it because of the simple fact that form of the Warriors is dead, right? Kevin Durant's gone. Andre Iguodala's gone. So we saw the end, if you will, of that dynasty run, or at least that era of the Warriors. Granted, they still have Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. That core is still intact, but we saw the end of what was.
Yeah, a really dominant stretch. And I went with this pretty similar to Greg here. I went with the ambulance emoji because obviously health was a deciding factor. If they're healthy, if KD doesn't get injured, you know, when he continues to play and comes back from that Achilles, they're probably winning in seven games. So health just really set their season on the decline. But biggest positive takeaway from last year for Golden State?
Their biggest positive takeaway was that they are still contenders even without KD. They were able to defeat the Rockets in six games despite KD being injured near the end of that series. They were able to fight Toronto to essentially a standstill until Klay Thompson also went down with injury. So the best positive takeaway from them last year is that losing KD doesn't necessarily knock them out of being contenders. Just as they won a championship before KD arrived in gold in San Francisco, they can still claim to be contenders in the coming years.
Yeah, I have the same positive as the fact that when Durant was gone in that playoff series against the Rockets, you saw what this Warriors team can be when you have Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson. And then even in the finals, you know, Klay Thompson being that number two option once again for most of the NBA Finals, the guy can go off for buckets easily. Obviously, in that game five when he had 30 points, maybe he would have finished with 45, 50. Who knows if he didn't get hurt. But you definitely saw this Warriors team, as long as they have that big three of Curry, Klay, and Draymond, they're going to be a team that's contending right around for a late playoff run every year.
Yeah, sadly, I had the same takeaway as you guys. Obviously, Steph, Klay, Draymond, we all got to see them shine, and they can still be really, really good. And like you guys talked about, this is a team that can still contend, and we'll kind of talk about how as we get through this show. But biggest negative takeaway from last season?
Last season really exposed the Warriors' lack of depth, and that was the negative takeaway that was most resounding to me. Whereas the previous Golden State championship teams have featured seasoned veterans like David West and Andrew Bogut and even Maurice Spates coming off the bench, as well as longtime mainstays Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala. What we saw in this past season was that outside of those two, Livingston and Iguodala, the Warriors' bench was thin, and that when they were faced with injuries, they had relatively few replacement options, being forced to rely on Alphonso McKinney and Quinn Cook in several stints throughout the playoffs. That's even more of a negative takeaway this offseason, of course, now that they are looking to be without Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston next year and having filled most of those minutes with rookies. So the biggest negative takeaway from last season for the Warriors was their lack of depth then, and ongoing lack of depth into this season.
That was my same negative takeaway, but I'll put a different little bit of a twist on it. For the simple fact they lost Kevin Durant as a negative. Obviously, the Durant situation, him getting hurt and then him eventually leaving the Warriors, he made their life easier. Whether or not this they would have sustained their same level of dominance if he had stayed, you know, we can all assume that they probably would. But the simple fact of the matter is they are losing a top five player in the NBA when he's healthy. And now guys, once again, like Curry, Clay, and Draymond are going to have to be looked upon at a higher degree. And as you mentioned, Greg, the bench wasn't great last year. And like you said, this year, they're going to be relying heavily on a younger group.
Yeah, you guys, you nailed it on the head. You know, the depth last year really stuck out. Like we talked about, when the injuries happened, they really had no one to go to, and it was just so much on Curry and Clay. Obviously, Clay ended up getting hurt. And you kind of worried, too, about how much wear and tear now on Curry and Draymond Green, because they're not going to be able to rest games in the regular season like they have in the past with having all the big stars and having that big four. But moving on from last season, going to this season, OCG staff has the power rankings out, and they had the Golden State Warriors at number 9. You guys think this is fair, too high, too low? Thoughts on it?
This is slightly too low, and here's why. I think seeing Steph Curry on his revenge tour this year after listening to 2 years of talk about how he was nothing without KD is going to be a sight to behold. I think that this year, if they are able to reincorporate Clay once he returns from injury, they're going to be a legitimate contender, higher than 9th, certainly. Now, there need some things to break right for that to happen, and we can talk about some of those later. But I would put them higher than 9th this year, simply based on Steph Curry's track record and what we normally see from teams with that level of supporting cast around a star player of Steph Curry's quality. So I think 9th is a little too low.
I think nine is fair. I mean, I could see them being, you know, a couple spots higher, maybe even a couple spots lower, depending on how you think this team's going to be before Clay comes back and how quickly you think Stephen Curry and D'Angelo Russell can find some sort of chemistry in that new little backcourt duo. But I think 9 is fair because, like we mentioned, there's a lot of rookies. Yes, Curry is going to be asked to be the vocal point once again of the offense. We're going to see Curry try and prove a lot of naysayers wrong. We may even see a little bit more from Draymond. Obviously, Draymond, we know, is a top-level defensive player. The offense has been his biggest issue the last couple of years, especially the jump shot portion of his game. But I think 9 is fair as of right now.
Yeah, I think going to the season, I think 9 is okay, just for the fact is we don't know when Klay Thompson's going to come back. How is he going to play when he comes back? And I've mentioned this in the past. I'm a little worried about the wear and tear on Curry and Draymond. 5 straight finals appearances and not the opportunity to get the rest this year, and he's going to get a higher usage rate. So I think 9 at this point in the season is okay. I could easily see them jump up a couple spots if Klay comes back 100%. You know, D'Angelo Russell and Steph Curry gel really well. Yeah, this is a top 5 team then, but we don't know, and I think with all the question marks, going to season 9 is okay in my eyes. But talking offseason, looking at draft picks, 28th pick Jordan Poole, 39th pick Alan Semih-Legich, and 41st pick Eric Pascal. Thoughts on these three?
So the first two, Poole and Semih-Legich, are pure shooters, perimeter shooters, which you may have heard Golden State has plenty of. So I would predict it to be difficult for those two to get a lot of minutes, although Poole does have some athletic ability. So during the portion of the season before Klay Thompson returns, it's not impossible that Poole would get some minutes. However, I don't see either of those two becoming a significant contributor in the playoffs if the Warriors are anywhere close to full health. Pascal is a little bit different. He could conceivably fill a void as a stretch four for the Warriors, which they have missed in the last season or two. However, I do need to see a little more from Pascal before I'm convinced. Most of his effectiveness at Villanova came as a much older senior. So I'm going to need to see some more from him against the much higher level of athleticism in the NBA without him being more physically developed than his competitors before I really go all in on him. So all in all, I do not see the Warriors rookie class making a significant impact on their performance this year, at least in the positive. If they're forced to depend on any of these players for a significant stretch of time in the playoffs, they could certainly have a negative impact. But I don't see much upside this season for the Warriors' incoming rookies.
Yeah, normally on this portion of the pod, I say, no idea, let's move on. But Jordan Poole is a guy that I somewhat know because I watched a couple of Michigan games this year. He has the nickname the Microwave, which I think is a little bit it's not bad. I think if a guy going into the Golden State Warriors offense, you would like to have somebody with the nickname the Microwave. I do agree with your point, Greg. You're probably not relying on any of these guys this year. Jordan Poole, I could see him getting run time early, especially with Klay Thompson being gone. They did bring in Glenn Robinson III, which we'll talk about, but he's been kind of shaky, so I could see Jordan Poole getting some of those two guard minutes off the bench. But again, you know, none of these guys you want to rely on if you're the Golden State Warriors.
And Poole's a guy that had a nice summer league. I know he got some attention there, but like we'll see what happens with these guys. Like you guys mentioned, it's not as much this season, but it is, can they develop into role players maybe the following season, things along those lines. But talking free agency, trades, and the rest of the offseason, players in D'Angelo Russell, Alec Burks, Willie Cauley-Stein, Amari Spellman, Glenn Robinson. Thoughts on the D'Angelo Russell sign and trade first, because this kind of popped out of nowhere, and I know a lot of people question the fit or if D'Angelo is even going to remain with the team for the entire season. So thoughts on him and his fit with Golden State, Greg?
Yeah, this was a really quite interesting domino to fall on the NBA offseason for a few reasons. The one that stands out to me the most is the fact that Golden State was able to acquire him at all, since it was technically a sign and trade with the Nets in a situation where the Golden State Warriors had no actual leverage. Kevin Durant was out the door, but they were able to post facto swap him, KD, for D'Angelo Russell, because the Nets weren't going to keep Russell. They were going to move off of his cap hold to sign Kyrie Irving as well. All that being said, now that he is playing for the Warriors, the question that Nick brought up remains and will remain until we actually see the Warriors for a significant amount of time playing together. That question is, can D'Angelo Russell fit into the Warriors' offense, their culture, and their team ethic? Especially last season, as D'Angelo Russell emerged into a replacement all-star, we saw him operating quite a bit off the bounce, and especially from straightaway. He liked to shoot three-pointers from above the break in particular, and liked to create from the middle of the floor. What would make that difficult to imagine in the Warriors ecosystem is their long-standing tendency to rely on ball movement and off-ball screens to open up jump shots. You don't have to be a huge fan or analyst to know that this is the case. Just go on YouTube and look up Golden State Warriors highlights, and many, many of those highlights are going to be Steph Curry or Klay Thompson coming off of an off-ball screen, catching a pass, and shooting a jumper, or else Steph Curry dribbling around a screen and pulling up for a three. So this is the Warriors' normal MO. The question that Nick raised is, can D'Angelo Russell fit into that? From what we've seen out of D'Angelo Russell, it would seem to be a rough fit. However, he certainly has the jump shooting touch, and it could prove effective for the Warriors to have another playmaker. We'll have to see, first of all, how he fits in with them on offense. And second of all, we'll have to see how effective the Warriors are at hiding D'Angelo Russell on defense. Now, without having KD, Andre Iguodala, or Sean Livingston, the Warriors are left with two smaller guards needing to play a significant amount of minutes together, which could put them at a disadvantage on the defensive end, leaving either Curry or D'Angelo Russell isolated against a bigger scorer is going to spell doom for them. So we need to see, first of all, if Russell is going to be able to integrate into the quick-hitting passing attack of the Warriors on offense. And second of all, we need to see if he's going to be able to hold his own enough on defense for the Warriors to consistently roll with him and Curry playing at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, you just broke that down perfectly. D'Angelo Russell coming to the Golden State Warriors is a good move for them to make, because you didn't lose Kevin Durant for nothing. You're getting a young asset in D'Angelo Russell, who played in 81 games last year, which is promising for the fact that he wasn't hurt. He didn't deal with any nagging injuries. He has had some knee injuries in the past, which was good to see him stay healthy. We saw the jump from 15 points per game to 21 points per game. We saw a boost up in efficiency. We saw him as a passer, as the number one option for the Brooklyn Nets. All very good in a blossoming year in Brooklyn. Now alongside Stephen Curry, in a more free-flowing type of offense where you're looking for more perimeter shots, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw another jump in those numbers. You make a great point, Greg, on the fact that defensively, this is not a very good defensive backcourt between him and Curry. Curry is not a bad defender. He's a nagging defender who shows effort. But again, both of these guys in isolation, it's going to be problematic for the Warriors at certain points of this season, without a doubt in my mind. I think the interesting fact about D'Lo is whether or not they fit in is really what happens near February. Do they look to trade D'Lo when Klay Thompson's near coming back? Is this just to keep them afloat till Klay comes back so they can get different assets to help bolster the roster around Curry, Klay, and Draymond again? Or is this with the goal in mind of trying to see if Curry, Russell, and Klay can all coexist on the same team? Obviously, we'll see that as the season progresses. Maybe if D'Lo hits the ground running with Curry, then those questions are wiped away and we're not even wondering about that. But I think if this team struggles and we see some sort of a misfit between Russell and Curry, that we could just see D'Angelo Russell being used as trade bait this year.
Yeah, I know. Minnesota will definitely call. They're really interested in him. Obviously, the relationship with Karl-Anthony Towns, people have mentioned, you know, a Robert Covington, D'Angelo swap in some way. It's going to be really interesting, but I think Golden State, and I've talked about this on the show before, deserves a lot of credit because, like Greg mentioned, they were essentially going to get nothing, and they were able to get the sign and trade for D'Angelo Russell with Kevin Durant. They gave up a highly protected first-round pick, but that doesn't really matter because they were able to get a young guard in here that made his first All-Star game last season and has some real potential. The fit is definitely in question. The one thing where I think it might work out in an optimistic perspective would be, you know, D'Angelo has the ball in his hand, so he's able to set up Steph because we know Steph can work on ball and off ball and set him up for those screens. And it just kind of alleviates some of the pressure. We saw last year when Klay was not on the floor or he was injured, there was so much pressure on Steph Curry to do everything. Having D'Angelo there, he's a guy that can play make and he can score. So it'll be interesting how Steve Kerr kind of gets them all to gel, and if Klay's back, how all three of them to gel. Because three-point shooting-wise, that's lethal. Like, Steph and D'Lo and Klay can all light it up from three. But in terms of all the role players they picked up, which guy are you most interested in terms of their fit in Golden State? You know, obviously we got Alec Burks, Willie Cauley-Stein, Amari Spellman, Glenn Robinson. Any of these guys pop off for you?
Yes, I am pretty interested to see how Willie Cauley-Stein fits. Now, I am high on Kevon Looney, so none of my comments praising Willie Cauley-Stein should be understood to think that, to imply that Kevon Looney shouldn't be starting or anything like that. However, in many of the recent iterations of the Warriors, Klay Thompson has run the second team offense, stayed on with the second unit, and been the primary scorer. What I'm interested to see this year is if they can combine either D'Lo staying on with the second unit or Klay Thompson continuing with the second unit to combine that lead guard, whichever one it is, with Willie Cauley-Stein, who is a quite good rim-running big, to provide a more multifaceted offense with their second team. Now, that will matter more in the regular season than in the playoffs, but it's something I've got my eye on. It's also worth noting that in the Western Conference this year, it's shaping up to look as though there may be more need for front court depth than there has been in recent years. The Lakers are looking to play Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, all significant minutes. So you need more than one big body against that front court if you're going to go against that type of lineup. With the breakout that Rudy Gobert has just had in the World Cup, you would certainly want to have two bodies if the Warriors were to face Utah in the playoffs as well. So I see a role for Willie Cauley-Stein here with the Warriors backing up Kevon Looney that should be significant. As far as the other players, I think Alec Burks is going to be important as the third guard before Klay Thompson comes back. I think how he plays during that part of the season will determine how big a part of the rotation he is after that. So that's a bit of a wait and see for him. As far as Omari Spellman, I essentially see him competing with Eric Pascal for the same role, the stretch four. off the bench. So I don't see, just like I said with Pascal, I don't see Omari Spellman being a huge plus. Glenn Robinson III is an interesting piece and one that Nick brought up earlier. What I'm interested to see is how well Robinson is able to fit into what the Warriors want to do. He's been a good standstill catch and shoot shooter. What I will want to see is him running through enough screens and him setting the screens sometime for the Warriors' superior shooters. If he can do those things well, I see Glenn Robinson making a small impact. However, since that's going to require him playing a little bit out of his previous role, it remains to be seen how effective he will be.
I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein is interesting for the fact that he's still young, but we didn't get a high praise from him on our Kings preview series. So how Willie Cauley-Stein fits, and I agree with you, Greg, on Kevon Looney is definitely the better center and the guy I would lean on more. I am interested to see on what they get out of Glenn Robinson in the third. Glenn Robinson obviously was with the Indiana Pacers for a couple years, really struggled to stay healthy with Detroit last season, and you know, kind of fell out of rotation. Decent three-point shooter. Decent shooter overall. I wonder what he looks like in that free-flowing offense that the Golden State Warriors run. Alec Burks, if he can once again stay healthy. A lot of the guys they got actually have injury concerns, which is probably a little bit problematic. But if Alec Burks can stay relatively healthy, he's an interesting guy because, once again, he is a floor spacer as well. But, again, none of these guys to me are anything majorly special. But you're hoping that one of these guys has just a breakout year with more minutes available.
Yeah, I think there's potential with all of them. Obviously, Alec Burke, it's more so about staying healthy. But with Willie Cauley-Stein, Omari Spellman, and Glenn Robinson, they've all shown flashes of being something. Can Golden State get the most out of these guys? And obviously, it's on Steve Kerr and the coaching staff. But looking at departures, which is a really talented list, if healthy, this list could probably get a playoff spot. Kevin Durant, DeMarcus Cousins, Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, Quinn Cook, Andrew Bogut, Jordan Bell, and Jonas Derepko. Obviously, they wish they could have kept KD, but out of the other guys, who do you think they wish they could have kept?
Oh, it had to be Andre Iguodala. It had to be him that they would have loved to have kept the most. And really, Iguodala is so central to the heart and soul of what this Warriors dynasty was that it will be a little strange to see them taking the floor without him this coming season. But more than that, or aside from that, is the impact that not having Iguodala looks like it will have on the Warriors on the defensive end of the floor. In previous years, the Warriors could always depend on Iguodala to carry the heavy load on defense, to guard the opposing team's best scorer, to play the tough minutes without getting the reward of having touches and points. Without him, and of course also without Klay Thompson healthy to start the year, the Warriors suddenly find themselves without that stopper, without that top-notch perimeter defender to go with Draymond Green. The result, I think, we will see is that they will be leaning much more on Draymond on the defensive end than they ever have before, since they could not keep Iguodala, who they wanted to, and since Klay Thompson is not healthy. So I think they would have loved to have kept Iguodala. I would have loved for them to have kept Jordan Bell, because admission, I'm a Jordan Bell fan for life. I realize that most people are not catching that vibe right now, and I understand you if you're not, but I've just been on Jordan Bell since college. I think, you know, his athleticism and his ability to make the splash plays on defense stands out so much, even if what you see when you watch him most of the time is him getting lost on rotations on NBA level defense. So I would have loved for them to have kept Jordan Bell, but certainly understand that that wasn't the Warriors' top priority.
Yeah, I think they probably miss Iggy the most for the simple fact, and he's been with this team throughout this entire run. He's been the veteran presence. He's been a big locker room guy. Whether or not you miss him on the court, I think the stuff off the court that Iggy brought to this team, you may miss more so than anything else. But of course, if you're looking for a talent standpoint, you're missing Kevin Durant. I think to a degree, you may miss DeMarcus Cousins. If it had worked out in a perfect world and you could have gotten Cousins to stay and be healthy, I think his fit with Kevin Durant gone may have seen a better A better DeMarcus Cousins within this offense. But again, you know, that's all hypothetical. But I think Iggy is clearly the guy you're going to miss the most.
Yeah, you guys nailed it. Obviously, from an on-the-court perspective and also an off-the-court perspective, Iguodala provided a lot for that team. And winning championships on obviously has a finals MVP. But what's going to be the biggest team X factor next season for the Warriors? It can't be health and it can't be a specific player. So what's the biggest X factor?
Two words. Ball movement. As we've already highlighted a couple of times in the show, the Warriors' offense and truly their identity as a franchise is predicated on the quick-hitting, free-flowing movement of ball and player on the offensive end. Integrating a ball-dominant scorer in D'Angelo Russell into that mix while trying to replace an excellent scorer in KD should prove difficult, and how successful the Warriors are in achieving that integration of D'Lo will go a long way toward telling us how successful they will be this season and postseason. If they are able to bring D'Lo into the fold, if he is able to use his skills, the things that he is strong at and better than most players at within the Warriors' offensive scheme, which is to say, if he's able to create for teammates off the bounce, if he's able to catch a shoot off the catch, if he's able to use screens, then I see the Warriors having a very good season. However, if it turns out that Russell ends up cannibalizing touches in the middle of the floor, which have normally gone to Draymond Green and Iguodala in seasons past, making plays from the elbows or from the high lane area, or if Russell ends up needing the ball more than Golden State can afford for him to have the ball in his hands, that will significantly negatively impact the Warriors' fortunes. So the biggest X factor is not just Russell. The biggest X factor is ball movement. Will we see the Warriors that we have seen with quick ball movement leading to open shots, or will we see a more bogged down, more isolation-focused Warriors offense?
My biggest X factor, I'm glad you didn't take it, is just going to be chemistry. You have D'Angelo Russell coming in. You have Willie Cauley-Stein coming in. Glay Robinson III coming in. Alec Burks coming in. Amari Spellman coming in. New faces. The rookies we mentioned already. It's going to be a different Warriors team. How fast does this team gain chemistry? How do they look early on in the season? And then once Klay Thompson comes back, how does he fit in with whatever chemistry they've already established? So for me, it's going to be chemistry.
Yeah, no, great picks. Chemistry, ball movement. I'm just going with the overall supporting cast. We know that there's talent with Steph Curry, Draymond, even D'Angelo Russell and Klay Thompson when he comes back. But who else is going to step up on this team? We've seen good stuff from Kevon Looney, but which of these new acquisitions in Burks, Willie Cauley-Stein, Spellman, or Glenn Robinson, or even some of the other guys that have carried over from last season are going to step up and give them contributions? Because, you know, you're always going to deal with injuries throughout the season. It's an 82-game stretch. You know, you're going to miss a week or two there. So guys are going to have to step up when their number's called. But what would you say is the player to watch next season?
The player to watch for the Warriors is Klay Thompson. We know enough about the other players on their roster to make at least a semi-informed guess of what they'll be able to bring. The players who are younger have enough of a baseline that we can guess where they might be headed this year. Even D'Lo, we've seen enough of what he's good at to be able to make at least an informed guess about what he might be able to do within the Warriors system. We know who Steph Curry is. We know who Draymond is. We know who Kevon Looney is. What we don't know, the thing that we will have to watch, is how close Klay Thompson is to his peak when he returns and whether he can get back to 100% by the end of this season. He's coming back from a very significant injury and one that many players have never gotten back to 100% after. So the biggest thing to watch is, who is Klay when he comes back from injury? Is he Klay Thompson? Is he 90% of Klay Thompson or 85%? So that's what I'll be watching, is who is Klay when he comes back?
I had the same thing, as watching how Klay Thompson gets integrated back into this offense. I had the same points.
Yeah, I'm going to go with D'Angelo here. You know, obviously, Clay is kind of just a mystery with the health, but I think the player to watch in terms is D'Angelo because Greg has kind of hinted at it. His style and the Warrior style don't necessarily match up. Are they able to gel? Do they make the proper adjustments? Because if they do, I think D'Angelo could have a lot of success and the Warriors could too because they'd still have three all-star level players. If not, it could be a tough fight for the playoffs. But who do you guys see as the starting lineup on opening night?
The starting lineup on opening night will definitely include Curry, Russell, Draymond, and Kevon Looney. The fifth starter, the small forward, if you will, is going to be a matter of some debate. I see Alphonso McKinney and Glenn Robinson III both having a chance at cracking that. However, I would say that during the early part of the season, before Klay Thompson returns, no matter who starts, we will see Alec Burks playing alongside of Curry and Russell to some extent, simply because they will need a perimeter defender, and he's one of the better options coming off of their bench. But for the start, opening night starting lineup, I would guess Curry, Russell, Robinson, Green, and Looney.
Yeah, I went with Curry, Russell, McKinney, Draymond, and Kevon Looney. I think McKinney, just because he's been there, I think he gets the nod early. I think Glenn Robinson, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Glenn Robinson did win that spot out in preseason this year, but I think it's McKinney's spot to lose just because he's coming back and he already knows the Warriors system.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Corey on this one. I agree. I think since McKinney's been there, he had playoff minutes, he had finals minutes. You know, it wasn't amazing, but he played with them last year. I think he has the nod over Glenn Robinson III. And there obviously could be some mystery thing. The only players we're really willing to lock in are Curry, D'Lo, Green, and pretty much Kevon Looney. So it'll be interesting to see who gets that last spot. But what would be worst-case scenario for the Warriors next season?
The worst-case scenario for the Warriors is that D'Angelo Russell needs the ball in his hands all the time, and the Warriors have to choose between letting their starting offense grind to a halt and let Steph Curry waste away on the wing, or moving D'Lo to the bench. Having this choice between turning Russell into a scoring sixth man or breaking apart their starting lineup's offensive rhythm is the absolute worst case scenario for the Warriors because it results in them approaching February with a depreciated asset, D'Angelo Russell now coming off the bench scoring, who knows, 17 points a game or 15 points a game instead of scoring like a star. So now they would be theoretically in the position where they can't make it work with the talent on hand, and they can't move D'Angelo Russell for a piece of equivalent value. I think the result of this worst-case scenario will still have the Warriors in the playoffs. I'm not buying any stock in Warriors missing the playoffs this year. I would still see them in the playoffs. However, I think this worst case scenario would result in them starting the playoffs on the road and potentially in a very tough matchup against one of the Los Angeles teams, Houston or Utah.
I mean, that's certainly a worst case scenario. And actually, I don't like the thought of it, but that was a really well thought out worst case scenario. My worst case scenario is just there isn't chemistry between D'Lo and Curry. They don't get enough production from these depth guys and Glenn Robinson, Alec Burks, the rookies. It's too much Curry, too much D'Lo, and they're just unable to really get anywhere in the tough Western Conference. And we see them hanging around a very low, maybe 7 to 8 seed in the playoff range.
Yeah, that's what I got. Worst case would be around the 7th and 8th seed. And just with the same reasons Corey and Greg pointed out, you know, you look at the team, players not gelling, the new acquisition's not stepping up, somebody deals with an injury, or there's just a problem where in the past the Warriors have been able to put up so many lineups that are good on both ends of the floor, or they have players who can help make up for somebody else's deficiency. Steve Kerr doesn't necessarily have those options this season, especially with Klay not coming back until February or March or whenever it may be. So it's going to be a lot of adjustments, and if things don't go right, they easily could end up at the bottom of the Western Conference playoffs. But
I want to say, too, like the injury point, like if Curry or D'Angelo were to miss a significant amount of time, this team would be in some deep trouble.
If Curry missed like 20 games, that would be bad. I'm not sure how many games they can win without Steph Curry this season.
Yeah.
And And I don't think it's really a hot take when you think about it, because it's just D'Angelo and Draymond, and the West is crazy tough. So, but what would be best case scenario for the Warriors?
The best case scenario for the Warriors is that they're able to use D'Angelo Russell early in the season when Klay Thompson is injured. They're able to have Russell flourish, staying on the floor with their second unit and providing offense. They're able to incorporate Russell into their offensive scheme so that he can play alongside Curry in finishing lineups. And if they're able to get enough defense out of their wings, especially Robinson and McKinney, whom we talked about previously, that they are able to play Russell and Curry at the same time and not collapse defensively. I think their end point on this best case scenario could go one of two ways. The first possible best case scenario is that Russell plays really well, but there's just an unmissable deal on the table at the trade deadline where they're able to trade Russell for a bigger wing at the trade deadline that improves their chances of contending. The other best case scenario is that they keep Russell and they are able to make it work with Curry, Russell, and Klay when Klay returns for injury. And they're able to contend with those guys, Draymond and Looney, as their core starting and finishing lineup. Now, you may ask if there's reason to believe either of these best case scenarios. I'd like to point to history. Historically, a player of Steph Curry's caliber, when healthy and when surrounded by a good supporting second and third option, has fared well in the playoffs. We can think back even to as Tim Duncan began to age, with Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker at his side, he was able to win multiple titles. We can, of course, mention any of the championship dynasties in the 80s and 90s. We can even look at the Heatles, the Miami Heat teams. Now, the Warriors have no second star comparable to Dwayne Wade. However, one could certainly argue for Draymond Green over Chris Bosh as the superior third option. So historically, teams with the star power of the Warriors have fared well in terms of championship contention. If you have an eye toward history, then it is defensible to say that their best case scenario is still contending for a championship.
Yeah, I agree with that being the best case scenario as well, would be the fact that D'Angelo and Curry find chemistry right away. It just works. They're scoring points with ease. Draymond Green is maybe a little bit more productive offensively than years past, finally getting the three-point ball to fall like he was earlier in his career. You see some of these guys, Alec Burks, Glenn Robinson, find some momentum and stay healthy. And then you're right around, you know, middle of the West when Klay gets back. Klay finds his rhythm maybe off the bench sooner rather than later, and you see this team somehow creep into home court. And when you get home court and you are as deep or as talented as the Warriors are and Klay's healthy, then you can maybe make a run in the playoffs.
And the experience you have. You know, a lot of the teams will be facing some of them newcomers in terms of deep playoff series. So I think Golden State, you guys nailed it again. You know, top four seed possibility here and a real chance to compete for a championship once again if, you know, Curry and D'Lo gel, or they move D'Lo for a piece that really gels when Klay comes back. So there's still potential there, but I think best case, still a lot of things need to go right, need to avoid injury, and then just a couple of these new names really need to pop off. But what's your actual prediction for this upcoming season for Golden State?
I've got them in the 4-5 range in the West. That says more about the West than it does about Golden State. While I agree with many of the moves they've made for the role players this offseason, it was a difficult environment in which to compete in the Western Conference this offseason for the simple fact that the two Los Angeles teams made huge splashes. The Utah Jazz acquired Mike Conley. The Rockets traded an older star point guard for a younger star point guard. The Spurs have DeJounte Murray returning to health this year. The Trail Blazers were able to fill the void created by Nurkic's injury by acquiring Hassan Whiteside, and the list goes on and on and on. There's a lot of competition in the West, and the competition intensifies as you go more toward the top of the standings. I certainly believe the Warriors can still be contenders. However, due to the issues we've highlighted, I don't see them realistically finishing higher than a fourth or fifth seed at the end of the regular season. However, the regular season may not tell the entire story for them. Since Klay Thompson may be somewhere near 100% or less than 100% by the time the regular season ends, it will still be interesting to see what they do in the playoffs, and particularly who they are matched up with in the playoffs.
Yeah, my actual prediction this year, and it feels weird giving this number, is 48 wins for the Warriors, which actually it could be too high to a degree, but I'm going with 48 wins, and I'm not sure on the exact seeding, but it's somewhere right in the middle of the East of the West. Excuse me.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 49 wins, pretty close to what you got, Corey. And I think a 5 or 6 seed is likely here because I think, you know, if we're being overly optimistic, you know, Klay will come back, get right back into being Klay Thompson. But dealing with a torn ACL anytime that happens, you're going to have some type of adjustment period. So it's going to take him a little bit to get back. And I think they'll probably end up getting knocked out in the second round from either LA being the Clippers or the Lakers. But any other final thoughts on the Warriors for this season, storyline, player-wise, anything you guys want to mention before we talk League Pass?
No, let's talk League Pass.
Yeah. All right. Where do you have the Warriors on League Pass 1 through 10?
They're a solid 7. There's plenty of drama to go around. Of course, it'll be must-see TV the first time the Warriors play the Nets. And, of course, KD will be on the bench in a suit. And, you know, the fans will be going nuts. So that will be must-see TV. There will, of course, be a heartfelt moment whenever Andre Iguodala returns with whatever team he is playing for at that time. And there will be plenty of on-court drama as well. We've talked over and over again already about D'Angelo Russell making his way with the Warriors. But that's only part of it. We will also see on-court Steph Curry trying to re-cement himself as arguably the greatest player in the league right now. We will also see the Warriors trying to move on from the end of who they were and step into who they're going to be in the next few years. What we'll be looking for, what everyone will be watching for on League Pass, is to try to figure out what this Warriors team is. And that makes for the most interesting watch, the most interesting viewing on League Pass, is a team that you don't know everything about. So in terms of entertainment value, this year's Warriors are perhaps more intriguing as a League Pass item than previous versions of the Warriors, where all the players were so well established. We knew so much about what that team was all about. This year, bringing the uncertainty to the forefront should make them as entertaining as ever.
It's funny. Just so you know, Greg, normally I'm the lowest guy on the League Pass rating when it comes to most of these teams, but I gave him an 8. And I gave him an 8 because I think the FU Steph Curry tour is going to be extremely entertaining. The fact that he's going to be given full range of this offense, obviously D'Lo is going to have plenty of opportunity, plenty of shots, but the Curry will be near unanimous MVP type season where he's just tossing it up whenever he feels like it. The green light will be as green as possible for Curry this upcoming season. You throw in the fact that you still have Draymond Green, you add D'Lo, you still have some interesting pieces adding into the mix. You still have Steve Kerr there running this offense. As you mentioned, you will have the game when Iggy's back. You will have when Klay's finally back. So for me, it's an 8.
Yeah, I went with a 9 here. I'm still really intrigued with the Warriors. Obviously, I'm a big fan of D'Angelo Russell for what he did with the Nets last year. But then, like Corey mentioned, Steph Curry is going to play really, really good, or at least an attempt to play really, really good. So, and I think, like Greg mentioned, this team will be more fun to watch than Warriors in the past, because a lot of Warriors games in the past has just been a straight-up blowout. You know, the fourth quarter doesn't matter. There's going to be a lot of close games. There's going to be a lot of big moments for Steph and D'Lo and Draymond Green and Klay when he comes back. So I think this is going to be a really fun team to watch. And I want to say all three teams in the Pacific Division so far have gotten over 9s from me. So I'm going to have to kind of cool down after this. But TV show comparison for the Warriors. Now, Greg, this can be based off of watchability, just to show you like in terms similarity to the Warriors, or it can be based off the show's plot.
The TV show comparison for the Warriors is Empire.
Okay.
The Warriors have stood or sat on their throne for most of the last 5 years. For much of that time, they've been very lightly contested. Even the 2 years that they lost the finals, they entered the finals as prohibitive favorites. So during that, during the Warriors' five-year reign, if you will, they have been relatively unchecked, challenged only by internal drama. We saw that internal drama most clearly this past season with KD and Draymond Green shouting at each other in a timeout. But throughout, that has been the only storyline fighting against the Warriors. The only thing holding them back was internal drama. Their own capacity has never been in question. Their own dominance has never been in question. And now that we see the fallout at the end of that dynasty with KD moving on to Brooklyn and the Warriors losing some of their longtime veteran backups, it's reminiscent of all the trappings of royalty, all the trappings of success, the dangers and pitfalls and what goes into building an empire in the show Empire. We've seen the Warriors' empire rise. Now we start to see some of that fallout.
I went with Ballers with Dwayne The Rock Johnson on HBO, simply because I like this show. It's entertaining. They're ballers, you know? The Warriors can be kind of considered ballers, obviously, with their style of offense, their style of play, the fact they've won three titles in the last 4 years, 5 years, excuse me. You know, it's flashy. It's fun. It's quick. They're fast. The episodes. So I went with Ballers.
Yeah, you guys are killing it, Greg. That was a really good comparison, Corey. That's solid. I just went with something based off of watchability in terms of I like Person of Interest, a show I like a lot, just like I like the Warriors. But any other thoughts you guys want to get out there before you wrap this one up?
Hey, I just want to thank you guys for having me on. Anyone who's listening out there, you can find me at GreekGodOfStats.com. My Twitter handle is GreekGodOfStats. So hit me up if you agree or disagree with anything we've said. Be sure to reply or hit us up on Twitter, and we'll try to respond in whatever way we can.
Corey, yeah. Shout out yourself. What you got?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at KWALHoops, KWAL Hoops. And just to plug it, that's it.
Well, just to plug it, I guess I'll plug some things. We're running a couple of series at OTG. Obviously, we got the NBA Outlet preview series, which we're doing right now, but we got the OTG team preview series, which is written form articles previewing every NBA team. Also, just started Hire or Fire, which is a series based off of OTG staff picking executive decisions for teams, non-player related, so front office, ownership, things along those lines. And obviously, you can find this all at otgbasketball.com and on Twitter at otgbasketball. Big thanks to Greg for hopping on for the first time. Corey, always a pleasure. And thank everybody for listening. You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, otgbasketball.com, Google Play, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.